Go with me, if you would, back to Joshua 6. That reading might have been familiar to you. We looked at this account of Joshua conquering Jericho when we were in chapter 2 looking at Rahab. We looked at the end of the story of Rahab and how she and every soul that was in the house that had that scarlet line, they were all passed over, right? Destruction was coming in. Absolute destruction is coming in. But every soul that was under that covenant of that scarlet line was spared. Tonight, I want to look at this same story from a different point of view. All right? This exact same story from a different point of view. Rather than seeing salvation from the outside looking in, I want us to see salvation from the inside looking out. Okay? Verse 1. Joshua 6, verse 1 says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." You know what Jericho is right there? That's my hard heart. And that's your hard heart. Jericho is you and me, us. Jericho is us. Every sinner as he is in his own wicked flesh. All right? Now, if you have a center margin, it says Jericho was straitly shut up. Mine reads, did shut up and was shut up. Jericho shut itself up. God is coming through. God's glory is coming through. God's victory is coming through. Jericho did not run out to Joshua and beg for mercy and peace and unity. Jericho shut itself up. Jericho hardened his heart. That's what Jericho did. Isn't it amazing how God sent all those plagues to Egypt? Plague after plague. After each one was over, Pharaoh more so hardened his heart. After each one. That is all that a sinful heart can do. It just gets harder and harder and harder. That's all a sinful heart can do. Verse 2 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were yet sinners." It basically says that. Verse 2 says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor." The old man who thinks he's the king of it. Everything Jericho is, everything Jericho has done, the Lord said to Joshua, "I have given it all to you." Every bit of it. Do you know what God the Father said to Christ in Psalm 2? He said, "You ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance. You ask, and I'll make your enemies your footstool." I'll bring them right down to your feet. All your enemies. This right here is where every child of God starts. Don't turn over there, but Romans 8 verse 7 says, "The carnal mind," this natural fleshly mind, "is enmity against God." That's where we all start. Every single one of us. We all start out as God's enemy. Every one of us. John said, "He came unto his own, and his own would not receive him." Shut it up. The Lord himself said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." You will not. Hold your place right here and go with me to John 5. John 5, verse 40, this is where our Lord said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." Verse 42, he said, "I know you, that you have not the love of God in you." But look what he said in chapter 6, verse 37. He said, "All that the Father giveth me." The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho into your hands." Our Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." How? How are they going to come? Verse 44 says the Father's going to draw them. How is He going to do that? How does God the Father draw His enemies to Himself? Go back to our text and we'll see. Back in Joshua 6, verse 3, the Lord said to Joshua, "And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets." Now, here's a little side note. The ark of the Lord, when it went into Jericho, it went in first. Isn't that right? He said everybody else is behind the ark. Jericho has been crossed. I'm sorry, Jordan has been crossed. That's over. How does God make His enemy His footstool? He sends a priest with a trumpet in front of the ark. All right? Now, in Exodus, over in Exodus, it talks about the sound of a trumpet coming out of Mount Sinai while God was giving the law to Moses. That mountain was on fire. And this trumpet was blowing and the people were afraid. In Leviticus, it talks about the sound of the trumpet of Jubilee. When you hear the trumpet of Jubilee, that's the signal. That's the acknowledgement that all the slaves are to be set free. John, who penned the book of Revelation, he said, "I heard a voice behind me talking to me, and that voice sounded just like a trumpet." These trumpets are the voice of God, the message of God, the gospel, the message of God, from the judgment of Sinai all the way to the joy of Jubilee, all the way to the deliverance and liberation of Jubilee. These trumpets are the gospel, God's message. God said 7 priests are going to blow 7 trumpets. That's His perfect ordained number. How many true grace preachers are there in the world? I don't know, but they're all numbered. Every generation, God has a particular number to blow that trumpet. 7 of them. Verse 5 says, "And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." Our Lord said, "My word shall not return unto me void." It's going to accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It's going. That wall is coming down. Our Lord said, "Is not my word like as a fire? And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." Isn't that what my word is like? A hammer that breaks that rock in pieces. God Almighty said that hard, stony heart in that center is going to be broken. It's going to be. He is going to be conquered, and He is going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. How? Preach the gospel to Him. That's the answer. Preach the gospel to Him. Preach the gospel and then walk away. Preach the gospel and then walk away. Preach the gospel and then walk away. Preach the gospel and then leave Him alone. Just preach the gospel and walk away. Preach the gospel to him. Verse 6 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant." You're going to blow this trumpet. Don't make one sound, though. Don't take one step without the ark of God's covenant. That's the only note we sound. These trumpets only have one note. C. Christ. Covenant. That's it. One note. They blow one note. Verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the reward, and that word means the gathered host, God's chosen gathered people, came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. They just kept sounding that note. They just kept going on, sounding that note and sounding that note. They just kept going on and going on and going on, blowing those trumpets. Verse 10 says, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall you shout. He's telling them the same thing Moses told them. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He said, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You're not going to get to take part in this. Gabe Stonecker does not get to take part in another man's salvation. I don't get to take part. You can't take part in this. You just get to witness it and rejoice in it. Verse 11. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. We see what's going on? Now I can see from the inside looking out. From the inside of this whole thing looking out, I can see Jericho pretty alarmed. Pretty shocked. I can see them fearful, absolutely scared to death the first time they heard those trumpets and saw that ark compass the city. I can just see them absolutely scared to death. But then, nothing happened. Day two. I can see them being a little curious about the fact that they heard these trumpets again. And there they saw the ark again. But then, nothing happened. Day three, I can see Jericho saying, you mean to tell me they're going to sound that one note again? Don't they know any other notes than that one note? They just keep going around sounding that one note. By day four, I can see him saying, you know, I'm starting to get a little tired of that note. That's getting to me. I hate that note. By day five, I see them hollering over the wall. Where is the promise of his coming? By day six, I can see him not even looking over the wall anymore. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass. It always does, doesn't it? And it came to pass on the seventh day. The Apostle Paul said, but when it pleased God. But when it pleased God. Paul said, I profited in the Jews' religion. He said, I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. He said, but when it pleased God, he knocked me down. Isn't that what God did to Saul? He revealed his son in me. Verse 15 says, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Who are all those people right there? Faith, hope, love, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, forgiveness, grace, mercy. Joshua said to all of them, go take the city. Grace, take the city. Faith, take him. He doesn't want me. It makes no difference. Take him. I love the song, Hail Sovereign Love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail matchless free eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God that ruled the sky, I fought with hand uplifted high. Despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. Arrest him. He doesn't want to be arrested. It does not matter. Take him. It's time. Take him. Verse 16 says, and it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Hail Sovereign Love goes on to say, I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. I felt it. I was attacked. Verse 17 right here says, and the city, that's you and me, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. What he's saying is, don't mix anything from Jericho with this victory. Don't take anything or receive anything from Jericho. Dead man. Or you'll curse the whole thing. You take something from Jericho in this and you'll curse the whole thing. The only thing that's going to be spared is what is in the covenant. That's all that's going to be spared. Only the child of God is coming out. That old man, that dead man, I adore this. I just adore this. There's two manner of people inside this body. There's an old man inside this body. This is an old body of death. This body and this old man and all his works, all his ways, the entire body and man and everything that is not planted by Christ under that covenant of Christ is going to be burnt up. Absolutely consumed. That new child of the covenant is going to be finally delivered from it. Finally delivered, finally freed from this old, the Apostle Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Verse 19 says, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Only that peculiar treasure. Only that seed that I planted. That's the only thing coming out. Everything else is going to be burned in the fire of God's wrath. Thank God. Thank God. Look at verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Honestly, can you imagine what it's going to be like to be liberated from this body of death? They went in and they got Rahab and they brought her out. They went in and they got her and they brought her out. Our Lord's going to send his angels to the four corners of the earth. He's going to gather his people up. He's going to bring us out. And I cannot imagine what the feeling is going to be like for this soul to leave this body. This body of sin and death. You talk about set free. I mean set free. Free at last. Free at last, you know. Verse 24 says, and they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. We love that illustration where that guy was whittling those hound dogs and somebody came up to him and said, how do you do that? How do you make them look so much like hound dogs? He said, I get my knife and I cut off everything that does not look like a hound dog. That's what God is going to do for us. That's exactly what God is going to do for us. Because of what Joshua accomplished. Because Joshua besieged us and liberated us. On that amazing day, that day we're finally pulled out of this body of sin and death, every single thing that does not look like Jesus Christ is going to be cut off and destroyed. Every single thing. And we're never going to have to enter into it or be under the bondage of it ever again. Never again. Verse 25 says, and Joshua saved Rahab. That's the summary of the whole thing. Joshua saved Rahab. Hail Sovereign Love ends by saying, ere long a heavenly voice I heard, and mercy's angel form appeared, who led me on with gentle pace to Jesus Christ my hiding place. On him almighty vengeance fell that must have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a chosen race, and thus became their hiding place. Verse 25 says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. That's what God causes every child of God to do. He takes the message of the messenger and hides it. Hides it, and she hid it. Verse 26 says, and Joshua adjured them Joshua warned them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." That's a word of prophecy. In 1 Kings 16, a man did rebuild Jericho. He started laying the foundation during his firstborn son, and he finished the city during his youngest son. Our Lord went to Jericho while he was here. Blind Bartimaeus was from Jericho. But here's the spiritual significance. Our Lord is saying, cursed is the man who tries to rebuild his own works. Cursed is the man who tries to harden his heart again. The Apostle Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha, cursed when the Lord comes back. Cursed. That's why David said, I love this psalm, and I love what he said in it. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Verse 27 says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise went to Joshua. Can we not say, honestly, can we not say, thank God Joshua besieged us? Thank God he infiltrated this camp right here. I wouldn't have it, but thank God he went to war with me and my sin. He broke this hard heart, broke the wall down. Thank God Christ won the victory. The Lord delivered us from everything that we are in this flesh, and he delivered everything that we are in the covenant of Christ. He delivered us from ourselves, and he delivered us to our new selves in Christ. I'm going to leave you with this. Go with me over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, this is the summary of the whole message. Ephesians 2:11 says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That's what Joshua did. Rahab, he brought her out, and she joined the camp of Israel, didn't she? Left Jericho, and they put her out in the camp of Israel. Verse 19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Thanks be to God. Let's all stand together.